Dude, what is going on with these Raising Canyon people?
Bro.
To book them, I swear
you
to God.
You can't get a hold of these.
You got to go through like 9 people. I'm like, what is happening, Sasha? Can we get your actors for our podcast?
Like, what's up? Like, what are we doing? Like, what's going on?
You know what? I'm just happy to be here. Okay.
Day one. You got Haley in the building. What's up?
Hey, y'all. Thank you for having me. I'm just happy to be here.
I'm booked and busy. I'm happy to be here, booked and busy.
So you are current. Here's the thing. The thing about Haley's character is she's jukebox, so you don't die. So we could talk and say, okay, you're shooting season 3 right now, and it not be a spoiler. So you last night had an overnight, flew to L.A., hopped right on a crew hazard off the flight.
Yes, I did.
I love that.
No, because I've been trying to come see you guys for a minute.
Right.
So I'm just really excited. I'm doing it. I feel like I'm a part of the club now.
You've been a part of the club.
But like this is like solidified. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now you solidified.
When was the first time you met Haley?
When was the first time we met? Was it at the premiere?
I think it was at the premiere.
That was the first time I met you.
I think it was at the premiere. Yeah. We met very like briefly, I think.
I embarrassed myself. I was like, oh my God, that's the kid from Ma. Like, oh my God. And Gianni was like.
I did not do that.
No, you were very sweet. But there was like a 2-second lull of like.
Yeah, I was like, security, get her out of here. They're like, no, she's on Raising Canyon. I'm like, oh, okay, she's good. Yeah, that's hilarious. It's so funny because I don't really get recognized from Ma, especially on a power red carpet, like it's only power. So like someone ran up to me, is like, oh my God, you're from Ma? And I'm like, yeah, I forgot about that.
It's just a testament, like it's a testament to your work and your skill.
Thank you. You
do iconic shit. Thank you. Both of you.
That's like someone coming up to, what was the Italian movie you did?
Un Altro Mondo.
How hilarious would it be if we're like walking down the street and some guy comes up to you and goes, oh my God, you're from Un Altro Mondo.
Nah, I'd be like, nah, what the fuck? Nah, that would crack my head. I'd be like, nah, what? That's crazy.
Oh man. Okay, so let's get into some power stuff because there's a lot to unpack with you.
Yes.
Very similar to Makai, you had to essentially portray someone who had already done something on screen.
Solidify as a character.
Right.
Yeah.
So tough.
So I want to know, like, we'll get into, like, how that happened, but what was the first inkling of power? Let's talk about your audition scene. Like, did you watch a show before? Like, I want to hear that story.
So the crazy thing is, I am the biggest Anika Nani Rose fan.
Oh, nice.
Because I...
OG Jukebox.
Yeah,
OG the original Jukebox. I want to be Princess Tiana when they do the live action. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Dream Girls, everything.
Right.
And so when she announced that she was on Power, I was like, all right, let me check out this. Okay,
right. So that's when you started watching.
Right. And cool. So I was like, oh, 50 Cent. Okay, cool. And I was like, because she's a princess. Right. Like, she's right. This goddess, this beauty. And to see her stripped down playing a dirty cop was like,
right.
Okay. So I was filming Respect. When they were developing Kanan, and I was telling my team, I said, I was playing super princessy characters, right. And they were hopeless romantics, and all of it was boring. And I wanted to play something intense and do something stripped down.
Gangster.
And so the original name for Young Jukebox was K-Live. That was the original name.
In Raising Kanan or originally in Power?
In Kanan.
Okay, interesting.
That was like her young
right.
name. And they were doing that to mask the fact that it was Jukebox. So I went in for this role.
Oh, so it was a fake name for the side.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think they did the same thing to Makai.
Yeah, they did. I thought you meant that in the original story, Jukebox went as K-Live when she was younger.
No, so this was just, I think it was just their ploy to get.
Interesting, yeah.
So I didn't even know that's what I was going in for. Right. And we were doing these auditions, and I'm like reading the sides, and I remember calling my manager and being like, this sounds like Jukebox. And he was like, yeah, that's who it is. Right. And I got so excited. I was so hyped. And so I made it to final callbacks, and I was just like.
So who's your first read with in L.A.?
It was, I had to do a self-tape because I was filming in Atlanta.
Dope. Mm.
So I had the self-tape, which I do not like self-tape. Me either. I would rather go in the room.
I love the room. I'm the same way.
I luckily got to kind of skip the process. And so my first read was with Rob and Sasha and Bart.
Yep.
And not intimidating at all.
Yeah, Rob Hardy, the gangster of television.
Like, I love literally. Yeah. But they were so amazing, and it was so fun to just play and create. And about a week later, I got a call.
It was lit.
Yeah.
And that was it, and you got it.
Yeah.
What was your reaction? Did you freak out?
I cried.
Yeah.
I cried because I wanted something. I had been waiting for something that I could really sink my teeth into as an actor. And so the fact that I get the opportunity to be able to do that on a show that's a cult classic is really exciting.
Right. That's incredible. That's incredible. So you get the role. Do you reach out to her and say, I want to talk to you? Or, like, did any of that happen?
I didn't. Shanna Stein, we love you.
And I miss you if you're watching this. You're probably going to be watching this.
She actually introduced us on the phone, like, while we were in the middle of season 2. And I had a full...
Wait, season 2 of Raising Kanan. So you didn't talk to her at all before?
Didn't talk to her at all. And holy then we were shit. Filming season 2. And Shanna was like, hey, come here. And I...
Right. You had no idea.
What I just did, that's what happened.
Yeah. And what'd you guys see? Was there anything said or
it
like?
Was just, she was just really sweet and she was like, you're killing it and you're doing a great job. I'm really trying to avoid watching a lot of her old scenes because I want Jukebox to be young Jukebox. Own thing.
Right.
You know? So the cool thing about being Jukebox is I get to bridge the gap between what people already know.
Right.
And her as a child. And it's so funny because I think people were expecting me to just come in and play the adult version of her.
Yeah, right. Just be gangster.
Honestly, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I honestly expected that too. I was like, yeah, Jukebox about to be crazy as hell off rip. But
that's what I expected with the original Kanan, which I think I said during Sasha's episode. Like, I thought we were going to start the series and you guys were going to be like killers at kids. Like, I had no idea. For some reason, it didn't even come through my mind that. Obviously, you have to start somewhere. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, this is so smart to start from the first thing that happened into, like, kind of where they end up, which is, like, they did such a good job with that.
Like
you said, like, without doing that, like, what else would they have done? Like, if they would have started off rip pop and shit, like, where would the story go?
So right.
Yeah, it would have, I feel like it would have been really stale. Yeah. I know people want, like, the crash, boom, bang, all of that. Right. Like, that's what Power fans love. Right. But I feel like we're really, both Makai and I have to earn getting to that place. Mm-hmm. And so every episode, it's like, oh, we're inching a little bit closer to who those people are.
Right,
for sure. Hell yeah, going crazy. Right, we're going to take a little break. We're going to talk to you about men's health. That shit is important, all right?
Did you know 1 in 10 men deal with erectile dysfunction? 1 in 10 men and 1 in 2 of the Crew Has It podcast hosts have it as well.
Now, this is all about confidence because, you know, sometimes people have bad days, anxiety, you know, they be stressed out.
She could fart.
And just say, oh, you're just, you know, just having a bad day. You know, Blue Chew is to the rescue.
Blue Chew to the rescue. She could not have white toes. Like, there could be so many variables on why you're not performing in the bedroom.
Yeah, if she don't got the French tips, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot. So, you know what I'm saying? Check out our boys at Blue Chew.
If she ain't buy you 2K, like, you know, it gets crazy.
He just got 2K from his girlfriend. I'm hard right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the hell? I don't get any of that.
Okay, we different. We got unique online service, all right? They got the same ingredients as well. Viagra Cialis. But it's chewable.
Chewable, okay? If you don't like swallowing pills, it's chewable. Or you could do what I do, put in the protein shake in the morning. You know how I go, get my day started. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
So this is an online prescription service, so you don't got to wait in online. What else? What else is it?
It's a discreet thing, so you don't got to go around and, you know, be like, hey, you know, can I get some Viagra? Can I get some this and that? No. Even though I personally like to scream it off the rooftops. That's just me personally, but people aren't really like me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tapped, as you can tell.
Yeah, he's pretty tapped. But look, no uncomfortable confrontations, no uncomfortable conversation. You know what I'm saying? Straight online, boom, boom, boom. And you get your Blue Chew, baby. Ships straight to your door.
Ships straight to your door in a discreet package, okay?
Yeah, so he won't know.
He's not going to ever know, okay? He's
not
going to
ever know.
As opposed to when I buy women's underwear, he's like, what's going on? But that's a different story, okay?
Look, this is made right here, directly in the USA. They ship it quick, fast. It's quicker than the pharmacy, man. I mean, come on. Rock with the boys at Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com, baby.
So now, look, they could try this Blue Chew stuff for free. If for they use free? The promo code, though. Y'all got to use the promo code.
What's the promo code, Mike?
Crew. Come on, you know.
Promo code crew.
Quick and simple, baby.
You can have Blue Chew for free. Just pay $5 for shipping. That is it. That's okay? It.
Keeps you going. Blue Chew.
Blue Chew, baby. Make sure you go to BlueChew.com to consult with one of their licensed professional medical providers. Blue Chew, baby. Back to the episode with some more confidence. Did you watch those old jukebox scenes before you started just to kind of see if you could get something from it? Or
yes, I had one day where I watched everything because there were a lot of details about their life as kids.
Right.
So I took my notes and I kind of watched and I looked at her mannerisms and everything. And then I was like, that's it. I turned off the TV. I was like, no more.
Right.
And I think that's been very helpful because I think I would have gotten too sucked into trying to be exactly what she was.
Right. Yeah. It's good to get some type of information from it, like maybe mannerisms, maybe this, maybe that. But yeah, if you overplay it, it already like, it kind of shows, like, if you're showing something that already happened, it just won't compute. It won't be its own thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that's actually really smart because a lot of people probably, if they knew it was Jukebox, they'd have gone to the audition and tried to emulate
exactly
that.
Jukebox. Yeah.
And that's the that's death, in my opinion. That's
I forgot, who do we speak about that with, like, going, like, if you...
It was Makai.
It was Makai.
Because if he went in as Young 50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it wouldn't
exactly
have worked.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though he is.
Right, right.
There's
Yeah.
It's such a big blessing to do something. Like, watching you has been really cool because you've got all of, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I was like, this kid. I was watching.
You wanted to strangle me, huh? That's crazy.
A little bit. And then you, like, I'm watching you pick up the mannerisms and the subtle, and it's so cool.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely like a fun journey, like, just picking up certain shit and, like, just using it and just putting it towards the craft and just seeing it work on the back end. It's like,
you might have gave birth to me, but you were never my
friend. Yo, I deadass just was watching that, though, like, not too long ago. Like, I seen, like, a little clip.
Yeah, Michael literally all day long at the house just watches old power scenes. I'm like, dude, get a hold of yourself.
Wait,
like,
that's fucking...
I literally hate watching myself.
Yeah, me too.
I hate watching myself.
I'm gonna be honest.
She was like, wait, nigga, what?
I'm gonna be honest, I haven't watched season 2 of Ghost yet.
Yeah, you deadass?
No, I don't know. I gotta watch it because of the podcast. Mm. But I just...
Nigga, me, I got no choice. These motherfuckers in the crib. Bro,
yeah, because they watch it around. Yeah,
as soon as it's 12 o'clock, boom, they on it. I'm just be downstairs. I'm like, might as well just watch.
But Raising Kanan, I caught up on Sunday. Oh, because we haven't had anyone from Kanan on in a couple weeks. Oh my God. We're obviously, when this comes out, it'll be episode 6 or 7, but I just watched 4.
Fine.
Whew, it is getting good.
Yeah.
It is getting good. And I'm just so excited to see where it goes because there's so much in between to where they end up.
Yeah, y'all impatient as fans, bro. Y'all gotta relax, bro. Like, just chill.
Right.
Bro.
Just bear
chill.
With us right. a little
chill,
bit,
bro. Just chill.
So is there like any type of trajectory that you want Jukebox to go, or is there any, or you're just kind of like, I'm rolling with the punches. I kind of want to just play and see what scripts come out, or
the one thing that I really focused on for season 1 was being the anti-villain. That was the main priority.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And then it was giving her heart because she's so soulless right. by the time she's holding a gun to your head. Like right. that I wanted it to be like, oh, this is a kid that we like care about.
Right.
And it's cool to see people being like, oh, what the hell? Like, Kanan kills her at the end of the day.
Right.
Like,
oh, that yeah, that's
they
is
get so right. tight about that because
right. damn, that's tough now that you think.
And honestly, if you think
that's
about it,
crazy.
Kanan killed her like nothing.
Yeah.
Like she was nothing. So here's what's so interesting is that Kanan kills her like nothing. And maybe when the like Courtney originally wrote Power, she didn't see that relationship in them when they were younger. Like maybe it was just like, oh, they knew each other. But when Raising Kanan happened, they're like, oh, this could be interesting to make it that they were this close.
Super close. Like, and they made it. I mean, I don't know if they had pre-planned it, but so Jukebox was raised in the same house as Kanan.
Right.
So they're basically brother and sister.
Right.
And so there's that added layer. Yeah, exactly. There's that added layer of like.
We got to have Courtney back on.
Yo, like, right. I gotta ask her. Like, what's going on?
Right.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. I wonder if that was in the cards all along. But yeah, people weren't expecting that.
Right.
I would not be surprised. Damn, Kanan really.
Yeah.
That's a fucked up name.
So how did you get in like into acting? Like, did you just start at a really young age? Were you, yeah?
Yeah, I was born into it. My dad owned a theater company when I was born.
Oh, cool. In where you're from?
Yeah, in Portland.
Nice.
And one of the first things that I did when they brought me home was I sat in the back of the theater, but I sat and watched the entire thing.
Right.
As a baby, which I was really sleeping. But they were like, you didn't make a noise, you didn't. And so I always had theater, I always had art, dance, vocals,
wait,
all
you
of
sing?
Those things.
No, I'm kidding.
Actually, people think it's somebody else that's singing and that I'm just doing like overdub.
Are you serious?
I could tell that's your voice though. Like, it's like, I could tell that's your voice. That's
we actually, yeah, we were watching that scene in 4 where you were singing in the thing. And yeah, I forgot who it was. I think, Cam or someone came into the kitchen. They're like, "Oh my god,
singing.
That's really her." Like, yeah, no, yeah.
She's like, "Yo, she's sick."
Yeah.
Hey, that's so. When did you like find the love for like acting? Like, did you find it like instantly, or did it like take some time to like really? Oh,
so
or,
acting,
like, theater or everything, like as a whole, like just the art of it.
Yeah, acting took a minute for me. I was a troublemaker as a kid.
All three of us, I guess.
Yeah, I was just like, I was always obnoxious. I was always super creative and talkative, but. Not really like acting.
Right.
A lot of what I did was choir, gospel choir, and then I would go to theater camp so I could sing. That's why I was going to theater camp. And then it wasn't until high school I got in a little bit of trouble. I got put in debate class.
What you was doing?
Yeah, what did you do?
I got in trouble with the teacher, but they put me in debate class because, yeah.
They're like, she can argue. Put this motherfucker in debate class.
And I excelled at it.
Right.
I was like, oh shit, you can argue with people? Like,
right.
So I did that, and my mom was like, you need to do your theater program. Like, you gotta do the theater program. And so my freshman year, I auditioned for the first musical, like, you know, and I was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I like how this feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it is a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like something that you're like, ooh, like it's everyone kind of has that moment that's like, ooh, I like this.
Right. And it was something like, because my parents were involved in the arts, it was something that was always there. I just never considered it professionally. I wanted to be a doctor. So I was like, oh, this is my thing that I do all the time. And I sing all the time and I perform, but I'm not doing it with the intention of like, this is what I'm going to do. And then in high school, I was like, oh, man. And then I got put in the August Wilson monologue competition, which I don't know if you guys know.
But no, but damn, you were doing everything in high school.
Man, yeah.
Crazy.
And so he's an African-American playwright. Brilliant. Viola Davis and Denzel did all of
it. Is it Fences? Is it? Yeah.
Yes, Fences is part of the Century Cycle. And I got to work with, like, professional actors and... Yeah, I was like, I'm going to do this.
I love that.
I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do.
So wait, where did you go with Debate Club? You just had to do it and that was it?
I quit.
Yeah.
I was like, I finished for the semester and I was like.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I can't do Debate Club because I'll be like debating with someone and then like they'll make a good point and be like, we'll fuck you up. Let's go outside right now. We're talking about like, you know, like the prison system. I'm like, I'll fucking put you in prison. You know what I mean? So that's why I can't do that stuff.
The big class is not, that's no, but I would not accept it. I ain't gonna lie.
I think you would. This is the thing about you though. You're mysterious. So people wouldn't be able to figure you out.
Yeah.
Right away. So you could be like.
I like
you
that
could do the mind fuckery.
I like that.
It's funny because I feel like the people who only like truly really know Michael are like the ones that like us and like who are around. But yeah, he is like really mysterious. When I first started hanging out, I'm like, I can't get my hand on this kid. Like now I'm with him every second of every day. So I'm like, okay, I understand
like
him.
I got to be more mysterious. I got to be more mysterious.
No,
now. I like that.
We're going to take a quick break from the episode. Michael couldn't do this ad read because he's all over the place. We're going to talk to you about our friends at Vincero Collective. Whatever. Look at these watches. These watches are stylish, affordable. They look fresh. They're great quality.
I got to take a little link over.
I love these watches. Sometimes, you know, I go to the club and I got my Rolly on. Sometimes I take it off and I'm like, I want the Vincero on tonight. Maybe Vincero looking fine.
Now I got to look a little swagged out. It's a lifestyle brand out of San Diego. So they don't just stop at them fucking watches. You know what I'm saying? They make glasses, sunglasses. They make jewelry. So what's their motto, G?
Their motto is three words: stylish, quality, and versatility. Baby, that means you can wear that anywhere.
Anywhere.
And you're going to look fly.
Whether you're going to the club, whether you're going to a little basketball game, whether you're going to a little meeting.
Listen, you know how important a watch is to finish the whole fit.
Yeah, nah, you don't got to fit on unless you throw a watch on that.
The watch makes the fit. Make sure you check out our boys at Vincero Collective.
But the glasses, now, we got to talk about the glasses because, you know, I don't go nowhere without my glasses. One, because I'm blind, and two, because I just look cool. These glasses are polarized with 100% UV protection.
5-year guarantee. There's a 5-year guarantee if you want to trade something out, swap something out, or return.
And there's a 365-day return policy as well. Got you covered.
We got you covered. Make sure you don't lack 20% off, free shipping, promo code CREW. Say that
site-wide,
again, Mike.
Site-wide.
Site-wide, baby.
The whole entire website, 20% off. Just make sure you use the code CREW and you get free shipping.
www.vincerocollective.com, promo code CREW.
Listen, this is how you spell it in case y'all don't know. V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Yes.
Back to the episode. So you start doing acting, and then when are you like, okay, do you move to New York? Do you move to LA? Do you start auditioning, get an agent? Like, what's the next step for you?
Yeah, so my junior year of high school, I started working at an equity house.
Nice.
Basically, that's just lingo for professional theater. And I was working full time and doing online high school. I couldn't go to public school anymore. And so I did that, and I found out I could graduate early, so I did the shows in rep. I was doing 2 shows at the same time, mm-hmm. high school online, and then I was going to community college on top of that.
Damn.
So I could just so I could graduate early, I wanted to move to New York. Once I decided I was going to be an actor, I wanted to be in New York.
Crazy. Who would move to New York? I don't know. That's a wild thing to want to do, but go on.
Yeah, it was. And the cool thing was growing up with the parents that I have, like, the reality was there. It was like, you can go there for college, but...
Right.
There's no guarantee of anything happening. Right. And because everything, I'm so blessed and everything kind of fell in my lap the way that it did growing up, you know, I'm really happy that my parents put the realistic expectations in my brain.
You got the Broadway show, so you started doing it.
Yeah.
Damn. What show was it?
It was Once on This Island.
Damn, that's dope. Yeah. So your first big thing was Broadway.
Yeah.
And how long did you do that for?
2 years.
Damn.
Or a year and a half. How cool. Yeah.
We've had so many people on Broadway on the show.
Yeah, I did. And then my next theater show that I did was with Patina. She played my mom. So I knew P before we did.
What? Oh, I think Patina might have said
that
on the
episode.
Did she say on the episode? Oh, my God. I think I heard that one time, but like it didn't like hit like that just hit.
Yeah.
And what was it?
Into the Woods. We did Into the Woods.
She was in that?
No, Hollywood. Not the one that we went
not
to.
Not the one
like,
you
I
just
was about
saw.
To say, like, wait, what?
Michael's like, he's like, wait, what? She was there?
I'm like, wait, what?
Mike, smoke a little less weed. Come on.
He's like, oh, maybe I did remember.
That's my answer. Yeah.
you just called him out.
Yo. I'm dying over there.
Yo, G. TP.
Oh, shit.
TP.
So that's crazy. So you did your Broadway show, and then how big of a part was it? Was it major? In the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
That's gangster.
Yeah.
And that's when you got, like, representation and, like, everything, or...
Yeah, I got nominated for a Tony and a Grammy and other amazing things, and yeah.
Yeah,
because
what?
Because I can't believe
it. If I get nominated for a Tony, it'd be tattooed on my forehead.
I am nominated. Yeah, no.
Tony's nominated. For your first thing, too? That's fucking crazy.
At 18, like
that's
at 8.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's tough.
So wow. It was like... a big blessing. So I got representation.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah, great representation.
They were like, we need her. Yeah, yeah. Gotta sign her.
They were like, hi, can you come in on Monday?
Yeah.
I know you just did 6 shows, but we need to. My team is so amazing. I have the same team, all the same people.
Nice.
They're like family to me. But yeah, I did that. Then I did a pilot.
Nice.
No, I didn't do a pilot after that. I did Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories after that. And then I did a pilot.
That's pretty cool. Nice little name drop there. Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg.
She's just like, yeah, just a little Steven Spielberg.
And then I got asked to do Into the Woods at Hollywood Bowl in L.A.
Ooh.
Here. And Patina was the witch, which you guys saw her do the witch.
She's so elite.
She's top level. So
I say this every episode. I love her. I say it every episode. But yeah, she's the best.
Wait, because I felt that.
It's not for clout. I love her, okay?
Yeah, and she was so, like, she's my big sister. Like, I love her. And I was Rapunzel to her witch, which that's like her daughter.
Right.
In the show, and we had so much fun, and we were like, "Oh, I'd love to work with you again. That would be so amazing."
Now,
cut to a year later, we walked into the table read, and we were like,
"That's when you found out?"
I think Sasha might have told her beforehand, but I was like,
"You didn't know shit."
They don't tell you.
They don't tell you anything. They don't tell you
anything.
Shit.
Like,
right?
I knew about. I didn't know anything. Yeah, no, I knew nothing going into that table read. And I walked in and P walked in and we were like,
damn, that's crazy. Wow, that's
must have
so
been a fire-ass feeling.
Yeah.
It was like, and it's not just the fact that I'm working with her, it's the fact that I'm working with this giant.
Right.
She's a giant.
Mm-hmm.
And people haven't caught on to it
yet. They will.
And she's been doing this for like 14
years. She's like 10 years on a TV show.
Yeah.
She came on and she talked about how she was unemployed for like 30 seconds. Her show ended like 30 seconds later. She got the call for Kanan. I was like, oh, God.
But she had to hustle to even get Kanan.
Of course.
Like,
right.
And she is a pure example of like, she is the next. She's the next Patina Miller, but I see her with Viola Davis and Angela Bassett. And
yeah.
I thought so you were going to say, if you're watching this, we're giving you your flowers.
Yeah, yes. For real. I thought you were going to say she's the next Patina Paola, but I just, for some reason, I thought that's where that was going. But, dude, why do I do this to myself? I'm so dumb. Like, I will embarrass myself to no end for a little laugh.
That's a good name, though, Patina Paola.
Yeah, it does actually they flow right off the tongue. This is why he's my best friend. He got my back.
I'm W-Mans.
So you get to set, what's your first scene, like, what's your first day on set? What do you remember?
Our first day on set was the table scene, the family table scene. Which one?
Yeah.
I had it, Kanan. I had it covered. The big fight scene.
Okay, right.
I had those corners. Yeah. And sorry, because it was the Monday after my 21st birthday. We all clicked. Like, right. We all really, I thought I could party. Mm. And then I got on Power.
Yeah, it's different.
And I was like, okay,
it's different.
Party, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For real.
You party with the Ghost Boys.
I thought, if you were in Houston for 5 days straight, I thought I had more Branson cognac in my system than blood, I think. There was more Branson running through my veins than blood.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I was sweating Branson.
You were sweating Branson.
It's different.
It
is
fucking Houston. I was sweating just Branson.
Because think about it. What other TV show can like bring out fans, like host a club?
Yeah.
There's this no league. Other show that really does that except us. So it's kind of wild. Like the people come out and party for us and they're giving us shots and alcohol and this and that. It's a different beast.
Yeah, man, was I?
Yeah, why did you?
What was I doing?
Why did you come to Tycoon Weekend?
Yeah, why didn't you come when
Makai came out?
Yeah, Makai was outside.
I know.
Boy, missed his play. He missed his play.
What was so funny is like Makai kind of said the same thing. He was like, I've never really like partied like with you guys. Like it's a different beast. So we took him out one night and he had like a good night. We went out the second night. Makai is drunk, and me, and he's like having fun, and me and Michael are like laughing because like that was me like 2 years ago with Michael.
I was like, yes.
And then now like me and Mike just sit back and we're like, yo, we're used to this.
Yes.
We look over at Makai. He's on
throwing mad money.
He's on the stage with the strippers, throwing all the money on him, and me and Michael are dying laughing.
I was like, look at our boy.
I was so hyped. It was so funny. And then Toby came out with us too.
Toby was going crazy.
He's like, I was a good guy before I met you guys.
So I don't know what happened.
I was like, it's what happens. You party with the Ghost Boys.
You had some good ones out there.
What? Yeah, that was a good weekend.
I gotta come out with us again.
Isn't he doing
my birthday?
Miami.
My birthday is coming soon.
Yeah, Miami.
When's your birthday?
The 22nd of this month.
Yeah. Oh shit! What are we doing? Where are we going?
We out to Miami. What are we doing?
Yes.
We go. Keep you updated.
All right. If y'all want me to go to Miami,
she's like, I'll pop out. She's like, just pay me my fee. I'll be there.
I need the back end. I need my section. I need 3 comp bottles. Need the sign. Welcome, Haley. All that. We need all of that.
Yes.
Not playing around.
What were we even talking about before? I don't even know.
So your first day on set.
Oh, yeah. First day on set.
You were your 21st birthday.
Yeah, you talking about, 21st birthday.
I was slumped.
You was cooked.
Right. So then...
like, I had a few days on set like that.
What was, like, the first, like, thing where you're locked in, you're like, oh, my God, like, I got this covered. Like, was it immediately off the bat? Did you, like, click somewhere between, like, episodes? Because me personally, it took me a little to go, oh, now I'm locked in. I think it was like episode 2 or 3 of Ghost. One, I feel like I didn't have my footing yet. I don't know how you felt with I mean, you've been playing Tariq for fucking 10 years.
I've been playing the character, but it was like a whole different feeling now. Like,
right, being number one, it's different.
Yeah, like now it's nobody for me to like
You have to
lean
carry
back
it.
On.
Right.
You feel me? Like, right. it's no one else after, like, you right. feel me? It's me. So it was definitely a different feeling. I don't think I had my footing until like this probably the second episode.
Yeah, it took
like,
me a little.
Feel me? Like I was just warming up, you know? Like obviously I was comfortable with having like the familiar faces from the crew back.
Right.
But like other than that, I'm like, damn, this is a whole different ball game. It kinda had the same feeling, but I was like, nah, I gotta adjust to this shit.
Yeah, it took me. Thank God for Rob.
Yes.
Thank God
Rob
for
Hardy,
Rob.
The man.
I mean, it took me the scenes that we did in the diner in episode 1.
Yep. I love those
family,
scenes. Those were so cool.
That's when I was like, exactly. Right. Like, I think the fact that we all got to play and laugh and just be together, that's when I was like, oh, okay, I can step into this. Because Juke and I are polar opposites.
Right.
And it's so funny because the fans do not understand that we are like not our characters.
Right.
So it took me that and lots of reassurance from Rob.
Right.
And being able, Makai, like, I'm so blessed to be able to work with Makai.
Right.
Because if Kanan and Juke don't work, like, a majority of the storyline doesn't work for the show. And so the fact that we both clicked as people and the family clicked, like,
that's a blessing.
It doesn't always work out that way.
Never.
That the cast gets along that well.
And honestly, I think that's why some shows get canceled, even though they have good numbers or, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work and that you could see it on screen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys definitely. Who else did you gel with well? Like, was there anyone specific that you, like, really fucked with?
I fuck with everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, even the people that, like, I don't have any scenes with Joey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
But
right.
Every time I see Joey, we're like, he's just such an amazing human.
Right.
Everybody is an amazing human. Our crew members are amazing humans. Right. Our producers, you guys know, are amazing humans. Yeah. So, and that really, I think, started with Courtney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you fuck with Joey, tell him to answer his phone. We're trying to get him on the pod. You know what I'm saying?
Joey, come on. Yeah, he's the busiest human in the world.
Yeah, I know.
But like, he's so sweet.
Right.
He's so sweet. Yeah. Everybody, he's super sweet. Toby is super sweet.
Right.
London is super sweet. London's
I love that. He's a character.
London's interview.
He had glasses on the whole time. It's like hilarious.
I was like,
look like the coolest motherfucker ever, but I fuck with London.
I was like, should I wear mine? Right? He looks like, hard.
I'm like, y'all gotta look a little cooler than this next time. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? You gotta feel in some type of way.
But no, you're right. Like Courtney definitely did that day one. Especially to me personally and Michael, like when we came in for the table read for Ghost for 101, she was like, this is like to LaToya and Mary, this is your mom. To me and Mike, like obviously.
Yeah, she makes sure like everyone has a great introduction to each other. Like, She makes sure everything is Gucci.
Man, I'm...
What, you want to be on Ghost? I know it's the coolest show. Is that what you're going to say?
I was going to say, like, we haven't been able to work with Courtney.
Right.
And right. I'm like, that's a big part of why, like, I wanted to do this, because she's such a...
The best. Yeah.
She is the best.
Yeah. The best.
They offered her $100 trillion at Netflix, so I would have went.
It's really nothing else. Like, there's no way to describe Courtney, but like, she's literally the best, the GOAT.
But she's also like a unicorn.
Yeah.
Because like, at your premiere, she like popped in and was like, hey, guys.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, I looked and she was gone.
Yo, I will never forget, bro, at y'all premiere, I thought I saw a ghost. I said, look. It was me and AJ. He plays Famous. That's the name, right? AJ?
Yeah, AJ.
Yeah. Bro, we was rolling up, right? We was in the spot. We was lit. I had the LeCamion with DeRoy in one hand. He said, yo, bro, roll up. I said, I bet. Give me the shit. Whatever. I got a back on my hand. Boom. I feel a tap on my shoulder.
I was with you.
Was right next to me.
Right. I saw Courtney. I was like,
yo, I turn around. I see Courtney. She's like,
you weren't rolling. You were hitting it.
I was. I definitely had to split in my hand. I had the LeCamion with DeRoy in my other hand. She tapped me. I went like this. I said, she said, don't worry. She said, you're Michael tonight. You know, she said, no, you're 22 tonight. You're not Tariq, so you're good. You're not. She said, wait, you're not working tomorrow either. I was like, nah, I'm not on tomorrow. She's like, oh, yeah, you're good. But, bro, when I first saw her, my stomach, bro, I was like,
yeah.
I was like, nah, not boss lady. I was like, nah. Not with the spleen.
No, it's so funny. 50 said the same thing. Because obviously, he was like mad young when they met and Michael grew up with them. When 50 saw Michael at Tycoon Weekend, me and Michael like looking at our watches, whatever, 50 comes up behind us and he's like, man, he's like, when I first met you, you didn't care about nothing. Now you got your AP on. You're walking around with it. It was so funny. He's like, I met you. You were this big. Now you got APs and chains. It's just hilarious.
He said,
like,
he said, my young nigga, wildin' out.
Yeah.
That shit was for the love.
But yeah. Courtney is, she's something. Remember that day on set where it was like early COVID, like maybe 4 or 5 episodes in.
Early Pandy Wandy.
Yeah, and we were filming at the Westin Townhouse, and me and Michael were upstairs, like, we were always, like, whole court, like, just, my family's there, so we're just, like, making jokes, being idiots, and we had, like, our masks down, and Courtney walked right in, and Michael, like, made eye contact with me. I made eye contact with Courtney, and we just went, put our masks up, and she was just like, subtle of like Courtney being there just like changed everything. Like, okay, shit, all right.
Yeah,
right.
Make her structure up quick, bro.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Bro. Oh, but yeah, she's a goat. So you do that table, you do that scene at the table, mm-hmm. You start messing with everyone. Where do you feel like you get your footing? Everyone's gelling and like, okay, we're killing this.
It was when we were all fucking around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's where you find those moments.
That initially was not written into the scene, that first, like, 30 seconds of that scene.
Oh, dope.
We were just fucking around. And there was a level of trust that was built between all of us that it was like, you're safe, I'm safe, let's play. And it's like, all right. Like, and Rob pulled me to the side at one point, and he's like, just go, you know what you're doing. Rob is so good. He's like... See, you know, Rob's a dad, too.
Yeah,
so he'd be giving the dad speeches. Yeah. And he'd be like, you can do it.
Right.
This role is yours. And at first I was like, yeah, but, like, I booked it. But, like, you know, anybody else could have done it and whatever. And
he's like, no.
Bro, it's crazy.
Exactly.
Sometimes you don't want to do that. It's like you booked a job and you're still, like, second-guessing it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the fact that Rob was like, no, this is you. Right. You've got this. And Sasha was the same way. Then I was like, all right, let me put my Timbs on.
It's so funny. Rob doesn't do that with us. He's like, fucking you two, another take now. I'm like, okay,
no.
I got you.
Yeah, no, we're kidding. Rob's the best. But yeah, he does bring that that assurance. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you do that episode. When it comes out, do you... like start getting great feedback? Are you like, do people start hitting you? Like, what's the feedback?
When the show aired?
Yeah.
So when the show initially aired,
uh-huh.
And I think it's still this way a little bit, people didn't know what to do with Jukebox.
Okay.
Because I made her so vastly different from Adult Jukebox. So people were like, oh, like, she can sing good. And, like, right. she's kind of awkward and she's kind of a little weird. And I did that on purpose.
Right, it's a teenager.
Like, she's a teenager right. who is gay in the 90s trying to survive in Southside Jamaica, Queens.
Right.
Like, she's not...
No, yeah.
She misunderstood as fuck.
She's so misunderstood. And so people at first were like, what? And then as time grew on, I think it's just like, you know, she made a way into your hearts. She made her way into your hearts. Because now things happen and people are like, like when Nicole dies, when her girl, oh, I hope you watch the show, but when her girlfriend dies, like, people were like, what the hell?
Right.
Like,
that took me by surprise, too.
It took all of us by surprise. And the thing is
was wicked.
The actress, Annabelle, knew the whole time that that's what was going to happen. And she didn't say not one thing.
Damn.
It's funny because I'm really like jukebox in the sense of like, and this is how it is with friends and family, like I am the keeper of secrets.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain things I hear, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Like,
right, right.
And that, she kept that like locked away.
Damn.
So when we were sitting at that table read, it was like.
Yeah. That was in person at that time. It was pre-COVID or at post?
It was during COVID and we were on Zoom.
Zoom, right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Zoom table reads?
The worst. The worst.
Like, what?
I was hoping...
Are you still doing them?
We're still doing Zoom table
reads. Oh, my God. Come on.
I'm just like...
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm over them shits.
So
over it.
So the fan feedback is kind of like they don't know what to do with jukeboxes. They
didn't know
what
to, yeah, they didn't know what to do with her. And then this season, they were like, oh, man, Juke. Like,
right.
And it's a good feeling. Like, my driver on the way here was like, man, Juke is... the weirdest shit. I'm not used to that.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm not the type of person. I'm very to myself right. and awkward and shy. And this man looks, he's like, look, I'm a really big fan of your work. Like, yeah. like jukebox. Right. Like, yeah. And it's so, I'm like, oh man, I'm doing something right. Like yeah. people of love course. Her and
doing your
that's
damn
all you
thing.
Can hope for.
Of doing course, of course. What was your favorite scene to shoot season one? Because you know everyone asked London about the scene between you two.
It's so terrible because that was my favorite scene.
Yeah, because you crushed that shit.
Like, and it's so fucked up because that's awful. Right. But we had... So Sasha had talked to us about that scene at the... Actually, before we even started filming.
Oh, damn. Oh, so he... Oh, before the season
first,
one.
Yeah, before season
so
one.
So they had all those scripts ready.
So we did like... this really cool family rehearsal day where we all were together and just rehearsing shit. And Sasha pulled us to the side and was like, you know, so this is all building up to a really big confrontation between you guys.
Right.
And it was like, you know, you're like, okay, whatever. And then you get the script and you're like,
oh this is big of a confrontation.
Yeah. Shit. Like,
it's more than confrontation.
But the thing is that that's real life for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so the immediate responsibility that's placed on you as an actor is like, how do we make this as real as humanly possible?
Mm-hmm.
And I think London and I did a really good job. Like we didn't, so London and I didn't speak the entire season.
Purposefully?
On purpose.
I think he told us, like said yeah. he was something like along those lines that when he was here, he was like, kind of wanted to keep that energy between us. He was like, I didn't really say much.
Yeah, like we would be sitting like this in a room full of people, and we would not even.
Wow! Even when you wait, so what if you had a scene with them on, like, at work? You did the scene, and that was it.
We did the scene.
Whose choice was that?
Like, it was London.
Yeah.
But London also keeps to him. London naturally keeps to himself.
Right, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like, got you. Like, it was an immediate, like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because there are a couple scenes where Marvin and Jukebox interact before that fight, and we would... nothing. And
that's
it
crazy.
Made it so
that's crazy.
Freaking great when we had to actually fight because it's like there's this uncomfortable energy between the two of us.
Right.
We don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And... we have this super ugly thing that we have to do, and we both jumped in with both feet, and the scene turned out
fire,
so sick,
yeah,
in both senses of the word,
yeah.
And yeah, I hope that's my hope is like, I just want to represent the LGBTQ plus community in the best way that I can,
right,
and be an ally and all of those things, blah, blah. Like, actors say that shit all the time. But it's like, you want to tell the story truthfully. You don't want it to just be like, it's easy on TV to be like, okay, we're going to make it this fantasy, whatever, bullshit, whatever. Right. And that's fine, but that's not reality.
Right.
And that's not real art.
Right.
So.
What was the hardest scene that you filmed season one?
The scene where I go into Nicole's room after she's died.
Yeah.
And I watch the tape.
Yeah.
That was really tough. Hernan directed that episode.
Gangster!
You love.
That's our guy.
We love.
Such a great director.
Yeah.
Such a great director.
And that was really tough. I was just going through a really tough part of my life. And I got to go through my midlife crisis at 21. It was great.
but here's the thing. Like, as actors, you use that in your real life into the work and vice versa. Or else it would be faked, you know?
Exactly.
So it's a blessing in disguise, you know?
So that ugly cry was like a real ugly cry.
Right, it all came out.
That is now like available for memes for the rest of my life. Right. But that scene and the scene where she's waiting for Nicole at the dance outside and she's just sitting there, it was so fucking cold.
Right.
It was like 20 degrees outside.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'd be outside.
Crazy.
And crazy. It was just like this devastation. It was like, I think one, it was the realization that Annabelle is like my best friend.
Oh, really?
And so like the way that you guys are, that's how I am with Annabelle.
Mm. All right. We'll start a podcast. See how good it does.
Yeah. No, literally. Yeah.
Start a fucking podcast. See if you could do it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But it was like, oh man, like she had just rapped and I was sitting there and I was like, oh, she's not coming back.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's the worst part.
Like when you form bonds with your cast members and then they just aren't like, there anymore.
Fuck that person.
It's like, God damn.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. Yeah. Go from working with someone every day and then it just comes to an end like this. Like,
yeah.
And then they're gone.
Yeah. That's some shit.
That's how it is with Natalie right now because Jessica leaves for LA. And it was like, and she didn't tell me. I love Natalie. I hang out with Natalie too. And I was like,
so she was only signed on for one season.
I mean, look, it's power.
Right.
If it doesn't say they're dead
they're
in the
back.
Script, they're proud.
Right, she's in Power Book 7, Natalie's back. Like,
But yeah, and I feel like you guys have that too. Like the cast bonds are really great.
Yeah, it's there for sure.
Yeah, we definitely got a good bond with our cast. Yeah, so before we get into some fan questions, I want to talk season two mad quick. I know we can't a lot because it's only like half of them are out.
And they didn't
not get me fired.
But yeah. Here we go. No, I'm kidding. That scene, like the scene where you meet your mom, oh my God. That was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking, but like also at the same time, like beautiful in a way, you know?
And how cold was Rock's reaction when she's like, I found my mom, and she's like, oh.
Yeah.
That was literally her face. It was like,
okay. Yeah, it's so funny because Bettina's the sweetest human being in the world. Mm-hmm. And then the second she's in a ride, you're like, oh, damn. Right.
She's cold. Yeah. Right, like, right. LaToya is one of the most incredible actresses I've ever seen. And me being the singer that I am.
Right.
When Sasha told me it was literally like it from Destiny's Child.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But her acting, it is easy to be put in glam and walk around and you can be hard, you can be sexy, you can be all these things, but to have to be vulnerable.
Man, it's the toughest part.
She came in and we did that scene and it was like, okay, we're locked in.
That's the thing about the Power Universe is there are icons on every show.
Every show. I'm jealous because y'all have Mary J though.
Yeah. Ever heard of her? My girl. We kick it.
We get to chill with Mary.
She's the man. She's like, when you work with her, it's like nothing you can ever experience. Like, it's so dope.
I'll never forget when he pulled up to set. He wasn't even filming this day. He just pulled up to set. He had the black lamb truck. He pulled up to the back of set. And then Mary, she's like, okay, I see y'all. Y'all pulling up in y'all whips this week. I bet. I'm backing up the helicopter.
I was like, all right, no. I was kidding. It's a rental.
But yeah, she's so chill. Like, we would just be talking about sneakers, talking about, like, life.
Have you met her yet?
I haven't met her in person, but I was invited to her My Life in the Sunshine, the documentary.
Right.
And I have to say, you saw it, obviously.
Yeah,
I saw it, but yeah.
I think for our generation of artists, when we talk about the hustle, there is a hustle. Absolutely.
Of course.
What she experienced in her young life, before she was even Mary J., like... Mm. I have so much respect for her.
Right, for how she came out on the other side. Yeah.
She's a human. Like,
she's a gangster.
And she's talented as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fly. And she's fine.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah, it's so weird. Once
Mary
you have,
is
like,
everything.
Right, once you have those normal conversations with her, like we were on set, I don't know, like 6 months ago, and we were talking, I saw her, and we were talking about the Super Bowl memes,
mm-hmm.
of how she fell back, like when the Z, and we were just having a conversation, like she was like, yeah, I saw all the memes, they're hilarious, and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, like,
that's
what?
Her. Like,
you having like normalized conversations with Mary J. Blige.
Right. Like, that'll never get. I don't care how big I get. None of that will ever be normal to me.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's so, and I love that because I'm a fan. Like, I'm a fan of people. I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, no, I don't fan out about people. Like, it's cool to be able to, like, work with these people. And I hope people coming up under me and actors are like, oh, that's so dope. Like, because that's who I am. I'll fucking talk to anyone. Like, I'm not London where, like, I can't be quiet. If I see a background person on set, I'm like, tell me your story.
Not right. Facts.
Right.
I just, like, talk to everyone because I just, like, I'm a clown. I like having fun.
Yeah,
I
know the people on set be tired of us. We just be having fun. Everybody don't give you background.
No, but it's a beautiful. But you know what the amazing thing about it is everybody who speaks about the two of you, they're talking about how beautiful your energy is.
Thank
Never
you so
stop.
Much.
Don't be assholes.
Yeah.
We got you.
Don't be fucking assholes.
Wait till
ain't no fun in that.
Wait till season 3 comes out.
Right.
<we'll> Once I get the rollie on the other wrist, we'll see how I get on.
But it's just like, even 50 is so sweet.
Yo, yeah.
I've only met him one time.
Really?
And that was at the Kanan premiere.
Right.
And he was like, yo.
That premiere was so fucking funny.
Yeah, you
first of all,
best premiere ever.
That was so
nothing will top that.
That shit was fun as fuck. That shit was lit.
I was like, oh, okay. We showed up to the screening and I was like, oh, this is cute.
After the screening.
And then I walked into the after party. I was like,
right. After party was lit. They had the old school cars in the front of that shit. You walk in. It's like three different type of setups. They got the graffiti, got the Good Eats right here. When you walk to the.
Yeah, that was dope. We had DaBaby, NLE Choppa performed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
a bunch of old school rap. That won't get better than that. That's when you made the Instagram post when you're like, crazy, we're the number one show.
That was after my
After our premiere, our premiere was like, 50 didn't come, no one performed. And we're like, we got the best ratings.
Yeah, what's going on with this shit? But nah, that shit was lit though. I had
that was crazy.
Fun. That night was dumb.
It's funny, though, because, like, obviously, inside baseball, we do poke fun at each other on social media, but we're all friends. Like, you know what I mean?
We all love each other.
Except me and Joe, but,
She's like, are we? Yes, we're friends. We're friends.
In an episode. But, yeah, like, and people talk about it. So, like, obviously, that's 50's brand, and it helps with the shows. But, like, there is, like, a fun competition, like, between the shows. We're all a family, but you compete with your brothers. I compete with my brothers. You know, I compete with... So you know, it's fun, like,
there's nothing wrong with a little bit of competition.
Right.
Yeah, right.
There's
right.
nothing wrong with that.
Funny, you know what I'm saying? We all love each other.
Yes.
So don't take it the wrong way. All the outsiders out there, we all love each other.
I am obsessed with Michael. What the fuck? Wait. For all the fans. It's the way that he just does these cut twos. Like,
nah, because they got to just know. It. They got to just know, like, it's love. Don't worry. It's love. You got love. Feel me?
Oh, a little Meech makes me laugh. Oh. All right, we're going to get into some fan questions right here.
Yo. Yo, what type of thing is this?
So we're going to start off with IB Top Pop says...
Hi.
They never get easier. What do you love? What do you love the most about your character Jukebox?
I love her heart.
God, yeah, that's so interesting with Kanan and Jukebox. It's like they're great kids with great hearts. They're great people. The world just did this to them, and it's hard to watch.
Same with that nigga Tariq, man.
You were a badass motherfucker from the start. Don't put yourself in there.
I was trying to chill, man.
But were you? Was he?
A little bit. But until Nick started lying. They was lying. Then he was like, nah, fuck that.
Kanan could have stayed a child. And he was like, nah, Ma, I want to be in a business. So, to be fair, because Tariq didn't really ask to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but why?
Nah, but like, Tariq and his mom, they don't have them conversations. Like, Ma, like, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. So, like, I don't know, like. And then she finally accepted. Like, she said, you're not going to stop, so I'm going to just teach you. And then she told him. Ghost ain't teach him. He said, teach me the game, Ghost. He didn't want to teach him. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, I guess it's just like why Tariq did it, why Kanan did it.
I don't know why the fuck Tariq wanted to just be a bad nigga, but I mean, like, circumstances, whatever, but like, yeah, bro, you was already rich. Oh, the family was already rich. I would have been cool with my feet up if it was Michael, nigga. I would have been like, I bet. Fuck it.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, C_Cooper3 said, is it hard to play Juke knowing what ends up happening to her later?
That makes it more exciting.
I like that.
That makes it even more exciting because it's like, I'm going to fit in as much crazy shit as I possibly can before she ends up the way that she does.
Right.
Yeah.
That position you're in is fire because it gives them to be like, oh, shit, this is what she went through? Like, oh, shit, this is what was going on with
you? Yeah,
like,
people love to hate Jukebox on Power.
I mean, people love to hate everyone on Power. They love you, they hate you. You'll literally save, like, 10,000 babies off a cliff, and they're like, we love that character. And then the next day, you'll, like, accidentally give up some information to Kane, and then they're like, they're the fucking biggest idiot ever. And you're like, dude, I just saved a bunch of kids. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't win. You can't win with the fans, so you just got to enjoy it.
You really can't. But the fans be making me laugh. Like, they be making me laugh.
Yeah, that was a spoiler, season 3. Brayden saves 10,000 babies.
Let me tell you, I was about to give up on Brayden for a second.
Y'all thought he was going to fold, right?
I did.
Y'all thought he was going to fold, right?
I did. And then it was like,
I thought my boy was going to fold.
Yeah.
My boy got me. I thought he was going to fold, too. I was in the courtroom. I was like, say the right shit, my nigga. Say the right shit.
It's so funny. I was reading the script. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm like, I called Cordell. I was like, thank God. I wouldn't have been able to walk around New York ever again.
Nah, yeah, it would have been quiet for him. I ain't gonna lie, it would have been quiet for you. If you would have snitched on Tariq, bro, it would have been quiet.
Yeah.
They would have been on your ass, bro. That would have been bad. But Miss Pros, she asks, how can you make Jukebox your own and stay true to what we already know about her?
Which you covered a little.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just making sure that we remember that she's a child.
Right.
And she has not experienced the life that we know as the audience she's experienced. Mm-hmm. And keeping that in mind. And also just like, I love the idea of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get a script from Sasha or whoever's written the script for an episode, and I'm like, this is the mindset, this is where we're coming from, this is what's happening, I'm very vocal about, well, if this just happened, then she's feeling this type of way. And I think being able to collaborate and talk through things makes it even more thorough when it comes to that character.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, what's going to keep going? Like,
that's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Sometimes I say shit and I'm like, yeah.
No, 100%, 100%. Honestly, like, I was really excited. I was really excited for this interview because I have been, like, really watching week by week, and I'm like, I can't wait till Haley comes on.
No, deadass, because we literally met at the premiere, and that's it. Yeah. I'm like, nothing.
We've been in contact a little bit, but, yeah, it's crazy to, like, have you here and stuff like that. But, please watch season 2 of Raising Kanan on the Stars app.
Haley's going crazy on that shit, bro.
Yeah, season 2's crazy. So it should be about episode 6 by the time this comes out. Is there a break between 5 and 6? Do you know yet?
Probably.
Yeah. That mid-season finale. Why? I'm tired of it, bro.
Why?
What do you mean why? It's money.
I mean, it is strategic, though. It is strategic, but damn.
It's money. What do you mean why?
I'll be wanting to see what's going
on. You get a couple week break. And then extends the membership.
That's very true.
That's very true.
Yo, cut that. They're going to start canceling their shit for the week. Yo, cut that.
This is why they're smart. You can't cancel for 2 weeks. You can't cancel for 3 weeks.
Oh,
it got to
be a whole month.
Oh. That's what I'm saying. Yo. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. yo, that's so smart. I didn't even notice. Yo, you're a genius for even noticing that. What the fuck?
Raising Canaan, OnStars, Haley, plug whatever you got. I know you got an album that just came out. What, you know, you got your stuff that's all going on. You got other projects. Please just plug it all.
Plug. All right. I have an album coming out, an EP.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah. And then Instagram.
What's the name of it, bud?
You want to know something?
You know,
I don't have a name for it.
You ain't name it yet?
Nah.
So you
I want to like, though. I want to do a listening session and be like, right now it's Desire and Devotion.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Falling in love.
Right, just make sure you just invite us to a listening party.
Yeah,
we'll
get
our invitations.
Yeah, we'll I will.
Be waiting for my shit.
And your Instagram is what?
Haley F. Kilgore.
Haley F.
I go follow
Kilgore.
Her. Yeah.
Okay, gang. Mike.
Where's 22 or Michael Manny Jr. on Instagram. Depending on how you're feeling, I don't know. Whatever type of information you want to, you know, read up on, good information, Michael Rain Jr., bad / good, Where's 22?
Where's 22 Vlogs?
Where's 22 Vlogs on YouTube, Where's 22, go subscribe. We just hit like 200K, like, yeah, so yeah.
100K and the crew has it, 200K.
Yeah, 100K and the crew has it, 200K and the Where's 22. We're running the numbers up, but yeah, Where's 22 on the YouTube, we got the vlogs coming.
Yes, sir, Gianni V. Paolo, TikTok, Instagram, put that shit on, baby.
You have a TikTok?
Yeah,
I got a TikTok too, Where's 22.
TikTok is the most out-of-pocket shit ever.
That shit is lit.
It's so out-of-pocket.
Let me just.
Yeah, get the vibe. Do it. He's doing right now. Follow your boy.
Yo, everybody go follow. If he's not at 1 million by this episode, bro, I'm not coming back.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you for coming on. We love you.
We love
you.
We'll definitely have you back on.
Yes.
Please do. Thanks for having me.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bro, that episode was fire, dog.